Amen. Good morning. Everybody good? It's Easter. Everybody chocolated out? None? Wow. Wow. Very good. So it was a cold and icy March morning. And Arthur, the manager of the town's John Lewis department store, was pacing up and down in annoyance. Bert, his resident Easter bunny, for the much-publicised Easter egg hunt that the store was running every day in the lead-up to Easter, hadn't turned up. And there was a stream of excited children and very frustrated parents waiting to be allowed in. Arthur was fearing that he would have to do the unthinkable and don the costume to keep the peace, when suddenly, just in the nick of time, a very flustered and apologetic Bert rushed in. "Arthur, please forgive me. I am really sorry," Bert said as he pulled on the costume. "The windscreen on my car was completely and unexpectedly iced over. I had nothing to scrape the ice off, apart from my John Lewis discount card. But it allowed me only to scrape 20% off." And so, like a flash, it's Easter. It only seemed yesterday that I was standing here at Christmas. Those 3 months have flown by, haven't they? What does Easter mean for you? If we walk into any supermarket, it's fluffy bunnies. It's simnel cake. It's hot cross buns, it's little chicks, roast lamb, Easter bonnets, and of course, Easter eggs. Talking of Easter eggs, some of you lucky people, if you feel underneath your chair, you might just find a little surprise, but it does mean you're going to have to go underneath your chair and have a little rummage around to see what you might find. And if there's some spare chairs in front of you or beside you, you might want to have a look at those chairs to see whether you can find something to surprise you. Don't be shy. If you need to lift the chair up, lift the chair up. They're definitely there. I put them on last night, but they fell off this morning, and Martin had to do them again. So some of you fortunate people will have found some little packs of Cadbury's mini eggs. Well done, Dave. Very good. Do you know how rare they are? Very, very rare. So covet them. Hold them tight. Don't let them go. They are extremely rare. Do you know, we went to Cadbury's World on Friday and I was thinking I might be able to get another pack. No mini eggs in Cadbury's World. So if you can't get them in Cadbury's World, you're not going to get them anywhere else. So that aside, let's take some time this morning to reflect on what Easter is really all about. What the real celebration of Easter is, not what consumerism has made it. Is the story of Easter, the death and the subsequent resurrection of Jesus, just that? A story that was concocted somewhere in the Middle East over 2,000 years ago. A story that sets a tradition that has been adhered to and followed for the centuries and down through generations ever since. Or what if, like we asked back at Christmas, maybe, just maybe, The story and message of Easter that we've been celebrating over this weekend and singing about this morning really is true. On Friday, we remembered the death of Jesus on what we call Good Friday. But what is good about it? How can the death of this man who we read about in the Gospels, who performed the most amazing and incredible miracles, who taught the most amazing truths in the simplest manner so all of us could understand, who challenged the status quo while he was alive, how can the fact that he is now dead be described as anything like good? Well, let's try for a few minutes and explore how the death of Jesus means why last Friday can really be called Good Friday. Do you know, we sang earlier, "The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame." And we also sang this, "I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me." What if that were true? That Jesus really did die as the ultimate sacrifice, taking on my sin and my shame in order to, for me to have relationship with Almighty, Sovereign, Infinite, All-Seeing, All-Knowing, Omnipotent. That means all-powerful. Omnipresent, that means always present everywhere. Creator God, who is above all. What if that were true? And what if, as we sang earlier, Jesus' death on the cross really did wash all my sin away? And what does that actually mean? Can I really be forgiven of all the wrong stuff I've done? Have I done wrong stuff? Those little white lies, those envious thoughts, why is his Easter egg bigger than mine? Those people I've robbed of what was rightfully theirs, or maybe something even bigger. Jesus, the perfect, spotless, sinless Lamb of God. Does his death, the shedding of his blood, really allow me the opportunity to be forgiven and rid of the guilt that I carry? Isaiah prophesied approximately 700 years before Jesus came to earth. He said this, "But he was pierced for our rebellion. He was crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed." What if that were true? Because of his death, I can be made whole and I can be healed? Paul writes this in his letter to Titus in chapter 3, verse 5. Jesus saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life. What if that were true? Because of his great mercy for me, I can have new birth. A new life, free from sin, free from fear, free from addiction, free from rejection, free from poverty, or anything else that grips and holds me. What if God loves us so much that he was willing to let his one and only Son die on that Easter Friday so that, as it is written in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 19, we can experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Listen to the last few seconds of his suffering on the cross from Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. At about 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lima sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you abandoned me?" Then Jesus shouted out again and he released his spirit. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, rocks split apart. What if that were true? And what is the significance of that? You know, since the time of Moses, God had been confined to the temple. And not just the temple, the very inner sanctuary within the temple. Only the great high priest was allowed to enter into that inner sanctuary, and only after sacrificing. The inner sanctuary was separated from the people by a thick curtain. But at the very moment, this is the significance, at the very moment of Jesus' death, that curtain was torn from the very top to the very bottom. It became totally redundant because God was able to break out of that inner sanctuary. No longer was he confined to that place. Because of the sacrifice of his son, God was able to come and make his home, his dwelling in all mankind, including me and you. Wait, what? The same almighty, sovereign, infinite, all-seeing, all-knowing, omnipotent, omnipresent creator God who is above all can live within me? What if that were true? We'll look into that a little bit more later. But if all of that really is true, then yes, we can absolutely say with all confidence and joy that last Friday can indeed be called good. But there's more. There's more. It's Easter Sunday. And listen to this, as we've already heard this morning. Reading from Mark chapter 16, verse 2. Very early on Sunday morning, just at sunrise, they went to the tomb. On the way, they were asking each other, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" But as they arrived, they looked up and saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled aside. When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a white robe sitting on the right side. The women were shocked. But the angel said, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He isn't here. He's risen from the dead." Hang on a minute. That isn't what they were expecting to find. Who has stolen his body? They run from the tomb, frightened, bewildered, confused. Had they really heard what the young man had said? "He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead." Maybe, just maybe, what Jesus had told them back in Mark chapter 10, that at the time they hadn't wanted to listen to, was indeed true. He said this, "We're going up to Jerusalem, where the Son of Man will be betrayed to the leading priests and the teachers of religious law. They will sentence him to die and hand him over to the Romans. They will mock him, spit on him, flog him with a whip, and kill him. But after 3 days, he will rise again." What if that were true? That Jesus really did rise from the dead? And if it is true, what is the significance of Easter Sunday? Well, let me tell you, The stone being rolled away and Jesus rising from the dead has huge significance because you cannot get rid of Jesus. You cannot get rid of Jesus. You've heard me say that before. You cannot get rid of Jesus. He was the hope of the Jewish people when he was alive and walking this earth. And as the resurrected king, he brings hope to each and every one of us. Earlier, we sang this. The stone was rolled away. His perfect love could not be overcome. Now, death, where is your sting? Our resurrected king has rendered you defeated. Jesus has rendered death defeated. Now, death is very final, isn't it? Death is a horrible thing, a horrible thought, particularly for those of us who are left behind. It's not a nice thing. But Jesus has rendered death defeated. His resurrection from the dead allows us the promise of eternal life, life forever beyond the grave. And as I said, back at Christmas time, John's Gospel chapter 3 verse 16 tells us that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. What if that were true? Everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And a little bit later on in the book of Revelation, it tells us that there will be a new heaven and a new earth where there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. What if that were true? That if we choose to believe the message of Easter, then we have the hope that one day, we will reach a place where there is no more death, where there is no more sorrow, where there is no more crying, no more pain, where there is no more injustice. Imagine that. What if? You cannot get rid of Jesus. No stone put in his way can stop him. What stone blocks your path on a daily basis? What stone causes you grief and pain and hurt? Is it maybe a stone of disappointment where your hopes and dreams have been crushed? Or maybe a stone of fear, a fear of rejection, a fear of failure, a fear of somebody? Or maybe it's a stone of defeat. You've tried and tried and tried, but nothing changes, so you've given up. Or maybe it's a stone of sickness, or a stone of pride, or a stone of addiction, or a stone of debt and financial burden, or a stone of anxiety and depression, or a stone of guilt. What if the hope we can have because of Easter Sunday allows Jesus to roll that stone away from your life? What if that were true? Listen to this from Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Can anything separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or hard times, or are persecuted, or disappointed, or hungry, or walk a path of addiction, or destitute, or homeless, or backstabbed, or in danger, or anxious, or terminally ill? Can anything separate us from Christ's love? And then from verse 37, no, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Wow, what if that were true? Nothing, absolutely nothing that I face can separate me from God's love because of the Easter message of forgiveness, of grace, of mercy, and of hope. And that isn't the end. That isn't the end. This message keeps on giving. Listen to this from Romans 8, verse 11. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. And that's what I was talking about earlier. When the curtain was torn from top to bottom and the very presence of God was released from the confines of the inner sanctuary into the world to come and make his dwelling, to take up residence in our very lives, if we're willing to let him. What if that were true? The very same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead can live in you. Just take that in for a moment. The very same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead on that Easter Sunday can live in you. And as I said at Christmas, what if is a question that insurance companies have been asking for years, and it makes them the multi-billion pound institutions they are in our world today. And for us today at this Easter time in 2024, I would encourage you to take a moment, if you've never asked it, and ask, what if? What if all that I have heard and all that I've sung today really is true? That maybe in this seemingly hopeless and dark world that we live in, the real Easter message really does bring hope. Meaning that I can live my life while I'm alive with hope carrying me over and through the obstacles I face. And what if God actually does have a plan for my life that allows me to live a countercultural, exciting, thriving, flourishing life with contagious hope, which spills out of me and into the lives of others, whilst all the time remaining real and relevant in this world? I pray this Easter, the words of Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that you will know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I pray that you will know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead, because you cannot get rid of Jesus. I'd ask you, if you're able, to stand, and the band are going to come back and just going to pray a prayer. And if you don't know this Jesus who we've been talking about, and you can't testify to the hope that we've been talking about, then I pray this prayer for you. But equally, those of you who do know this hope, I pray this prayer for you as well. Lord, let the reality of your resurrection change my life today. Give me eyes to see you, ears to hear you, and a heart to believe you today and forever. Come and fill me with joy and peace and hope this Easter Sunday. That I may overflow with hope by the power of your life forever. Amen.